Good day, and welcome to Detroit Today on 101.9 WDET. I'm Stephen Henderson, and as always, thanks for tuning in. A little later in the hour, we're going to have a really interesting conversation with the author of a book about how refugees reshaped an industrial city in upstate New York. It is a story about the wonders of immigration and kind of a departure from the zero-sum game of politics that we can and sometimes do have here in this country when we are talking about immigration. So you're going to want to stay tuned to that conversation. It'll get started at about half past the hour. But first, I want to talk about the Secretary of State here in Michigan. Now, not everybody loves the idea of having to go to the Secretary of State office. Sometimes the wait times are pretty long, and finding an office is increasingly difficult. But our current Secretary of State, Jocelyn Benson, has said that she is working really hard to improve those things. She is trying to shorten wait times and improving the office's online presence and adding more offices when they are needed. And speaking of adding more offices, that is actually happening today in the city of Detroit. A new Secretary of State office is going to open on East Warren Avenue in Midtown Detroit. I cannot really remember the last time we had a new Secretary of State branch in the city, and certainly we have fewer now than we did many years ago. So to talk about why we're getting this new office, in addition to the increasingly difficult job of keeping our election secure, which is going to be her main focus this fall, we've got Michigan Secretary of State Jocelyn Benson here with us. Jocelyn, welcome back to Detroit Today.
Hi, good morning. Good morning. Thanks for having me, Stephen.
Okay, a new office on East Warren in Midtown Detroit. The first thing that comes to my mind is that that's pretty close, actually, to the new center office, which is actually the one that I use the most in the city. So talk about why are we getting a new branch office in Detroit, and why did you open it in Midtown?
Well, we built it. We started building it a few years ago, and it was important for us to recognize in looking at mobility patterns and where there were gaps, because there have been basically four offices closed in the area, including one on Woodward and one in the downtown area, over the last few years, or the last few decades, that we wanted to replace some of those services that have been lost, in-person services that have been lost to residents in those areas. And so this location was chosen a few years ago, and we've been developing it ever since. And important to note that we've developed it and launched it in combination with a mobile Secretary of State office that goes around Southeast Michigan to locations like senior centers, foster care facilities, homeless shelters, other places where residents face obstacles getting to our other facilities so that they can be served right where they are. For example, today our mobile office is at the Sheffield Center over at Grand River in Wyoming. So we continue to expand services all around the city, and this was an area that particularly was missing services in relation to an increase in population that's also happened over the last several years.
So we should be clear, this is not a replacement for the new center office. This is a new branch office, and it's expanding service in the city.
Correct. Yes, it could have been a replacement, but we realized that the need actually was for expansion, not replacement. So we have this, and I think it's also important to have an office in a city that has more than any other area in our state lost those in-person services over the last several decades. So I'm proud that this will help promote more equity in how we deliver those in-person services. And then there will also be a self-service station at the office that's open 24/7 that people can go to at any point to renew their licenses or their plates. And of course, we have 13 other self-service stations in Detroit, in grocery stores and other places.
Okay. You ran on the prospect of making lines and wait times shorter at Secretary of State offices. I think that effort can best be described as having some fits and starts over the time that you've been in office. Give us an update on where we are with that and how things can be made more efficient.
Well, I'm proud that really over the last year, it's been successful. We have eliminated wait times in every office, and I track these daily and get a report every Monday. We got rid of the ticket and wait system that forced Detroiters and others to wait in line in our lobbies for hours. And now all office visits anywhere in our state are done in an average of 20 minutes or less. People can schedule their visit ahead of time, or they can simply just walk up and either be seen right away or schedule a time to come back later that day in which they'll be seen right away. And then, of course, we've also expanded our offerings at self-service stations and online, so that we've gone from a place where a few years ago when I took office, 29% of services were done outside of branch offices. Now we've doubled that so that 60% of services are done outside branch offices. So that's also significantly reduced traffic in our offices, making it more easier for people to visit and be seen right away.
Is that the direction that we're headed in a bigger sense? In other words, that the idea of having to go to a branch office to take care of your driver's license or your car, that someday we won't really be doing that at all?
Well, the laws would have to change in order for us to get there. I mean, first we are required to have at least one in-person office in every county in the state, and then there are a number of services like title transfers, and someone transfers a title for their car, that have to be done for the most part in person. And so we always have to provide those in-person services. There's some federal requirements for that as well. But we have, where we can, have automated services, made those and expanded those and made those more available for citizens. One of the other things I noticed when I visited every branch office when I took office was that a lot of people just still use cash only. And so it was important that we have self-service stations that take cash. Mm-hmm. But for a lot of citizens, they're also just more comfortable doing things in person. So we've increased the conveniences of doing things outside of the office and expanded those opportunities, but we still want to provide that in-person service in a convenient way too.
Yeah, I'm talking with Secretary of State Jocelyn Benson about a new branch office that is opening on East Warren here in the city of Detroit, in Midtown Detroit today. It is intended to expand access and services for Detroiters. Was this idea partially about population growing in Midtown specifically, or is this about the overall access here in the city?
It really is helping to address decades of disinvestment and office closures in the city of Detroit by previous secretaries of state. And we've seen Michigan's population overall and the number of vehicles increase during that time as well, when offices, as you mentioned earlier, had been cut, and staff was also cut by about half. So here in Detroit, as I mentioned, there was one office downtown closed and one up Woodward. So it was, and others were moved out of the city. And so we wanted to, at the same time, there'd been a population growth in those areas, ensure that we were providing that more equitable service. It's also on a bus line and more easily accessible by public transportation. So we feel this location for now is going to address all those issues. But again, we've added this mobile office as well to go to other parts of the city and other parts of the region to meet people where they're at, in senior centers and foster care facilities, homeless shelters, and other places where residents are already so that we are addressing equity in every way possible.
Yeah. If you have a question for Michigan Secretary of State Jocelyn Benson, now is the time to call and ask it. You can dial 313-577-1019. That's 313-577-1019. You can also go to the WDET Facebook page or to Twitter, put comments there, and we can get the questions to the Secretary of State that way. I do want to talk about elections and the preparation for our elections, but I also want to give you a chance to talk about what we have learned in the last few weeks about what happened on January 6th of last year, 2021, but also how that connects to what happened here in the city of Detroit in November of 2020. We watched former Attorney General William Barr say in very explicit terms that there was no fraud here in the city of Detroit, that the things that Donald Trump, who was the president at the time said about what happened in Detroit, what other people said about Detroit was not true, and that he told them so in advance of January 6th. I wonder, as the chief elections officer here in the state of Michigan, how that fell on your ears.
Well, thank you, Bert. I mean, that's a great way to put the question, because it really has underscored what we and election officials all across our state, and really all across our country and other states as well, have known all along, that there has never been any merit to the claims of election fraud, and the former president and his aides all lied to every American, Republicans, Democrats, Independents, in an attempt to overturn the outcome of their votes in the highest turnout election in our nation's history. And so for the former U.S. Attorney General to confirm this, and again, just confirm what we lived through and have known all along, the truth that there was no election fraud in Detroit or in the state of Michigan in 2020. Our elections were fair and accurate. The former president still continues to knowingly lie. And even though he's been told there is no truth to the allegations, it underscores, and I think hopefully amplifies to all Americans, the reality of and the truth of what we've been facing and dealing with. And I hope cuts through some of the misinformation so that we can really, in my view, prevent this from happening again, not just this year, but in future elections. And by this, I mean the misinformation taking hold, when in truth our elections are accurate and our election officials are doing a tremendously great job managing high turnout elections, particularly as they were in 2020 in the midst of the pandemic. So I continue to hope that we'll see more truth revealed and connections made by the committee and as they work to both bring about accountability for those responsible for what happened in our Capitol January 6th, but also prevent future attacks.
Mm. So thinking forward to August and to November this year, I know that you've been working on a number of things to make sure that, you know, elections go smoothly and are as secure. What are some of the things that you're most focused on, I guess, in terms of making things better? And again, making sure that the lies that took hold in 2020 don't have the opportunity to repeat themselves this time.
Yeah, I think there's a couple of things. I mean, one, democracy prevailed in 2020 because of people, because people stood guard, because people did their jobs, because election officials all across the state worked to pull off a very successful, secure election that was able to actually withstand the scrutiny and the attacks. So one of the things we're doing is protecting those people. There's been a lot of pressure on them to, for example, wrongly turn over election machines. We've been working to support them and also to help provide more support against threats and connection to law enforcement and recruiting more election officials, poll workers, and the like through our website, michigan.gov/democracymvp, where anyone can sign up to work in a polling place in our state if they're qualified to do so. And then the other thing we're working on in part in response to a lot of the misinformation is to continue to reinforce the security of our system, making sure people know about the built-in protections that we have against any disruptions, like paper ballots, to ensure we are accurately able to report election results, even if something happens with the machinery of the process. And also reinforce to our clerks that we have their backs, and we, for example, did this by releasing $8 million in grant funding to help local clerks shore up the physical security, precisely because of some of these growing threats to their life, their well-being, but also the systems, the election systems they oversee.
There was that story recently about Republicans trying to encourage citizens to be election workers in Detroit as part of the skepticism that they have about the integrity of our voting system. Obviously, anybody is welcome to be an election worker. At the same time, you don't want people there causing trouble. It seems like it could be a recipe for some mischief. What's the right response to that?
Well, exactly as you said, we think it's a good thing when anyone is on either side of the aisle encouraged or considers applying to be a poll worker. It's something that we've continued to encourage throughout my tenure. But what's a problem is if during that recruitment process they're fed misinformation about the system and then come into the position, which is a really important position, kind of activated through misinformation as opposed to accurate information, which is what we need our poll workers to be stewards of, the accurate information. So with those concerns, I have a lot of faith in our clerks, and we've been working directly with them continually as they, if they get applications for anyone new to serve as poll workers, to make sure they have the support to hire election workers from both sides of the aisle who will do the jobs with integrity. And, you know, secondly, I fully expect if anyone is appointed from any party or with any affiliation, any poll worker who does work for the clerks, which they do, and then violates the law by disrupting the process on election day, would be swiftly removed and dealt with and held accountable. And that goes not just for poll workers, but anyone who shows up trying to disrupt our election processes on election day. The law is very clear, and voter intimidation is illegal. And we're working with law enforcement to ensure that if there is any disruption or otherwise illegal activity at any polling place in Michigan on election day, that it's dealt with swiftly with a rapid response system, and those perpetrators are held accountable.
Quickly, before we have to let you go, I saw something pretty interesting last week when Michigan announced that residents can now purchase digital license plates. We are only the third state to approve these digital plates. I wonder if you could talk a little about why we decided now is the time. I don't really understand how this works. I tried to look a little more into it, but it seems popular.
Well, the state legislature legalized digital license plates years ago, and now a vendor has actually met the requirements to provide them to our residents. We don't sell them or receive any revenue from them. They're strictly a product of third-party companies. They cost a bit more than our $5 standard plates, but there are many individuals and businesses with fleets who may appreciate them, so it's another option for individuals who want it. I don't know we don't see any way in which they would make it any easier to renew your registration. In fact, we expect the companies that offer the services of digital plates that they're using simply the same online service that anyone in the public could use themselves for a plate. But residents interested in a digital plate are still issued a metal license plate as well at the time of registering their vehicle at the Secretary of State office. So they also still have that backup. And we'll see how this new option emerges for our residents and businesses with many cars.
Yeah. Okay, Jocelyn Benson, Michigan Secretary of State, always great to have you here to catch us up on things about your office and, of course, about our elections. Thanks so much for joining us.
Yes, thanks for having me, Stephen. Thanks.
Coming up, we're going to shift gears and talk about the book called City of Refugees, which explores the beauty of multiculturalism in the Rust Belt city of Utica, New York. It is an homage, really, to the power of immigration and the power of immigrants to change and even rescue American cities. Stay tuned for more Detroit Today.